Okay, Rabbi Isai, so we're holding here in Shar HaTshuva, and the Chovos Levavos was telling us that there are five details, five components on the Musig of Bakoshes HaSlicha. That person is really sincere about repenting. If you want to really make a real, serious effort, so a person has to confess his many sins verbally. We have to remember them all the time. A person has to fast by day and pray by night. Fast and pray. And every time we have a free moment, we're thinking about our past sins. This wouldn't be very acceptable today. They probably think a person's paranoid, he's mentally disturbed. Of course, if you're obsessive about it, that's not appropriate. There are people who are obsessive, and they, in a way, what's the difference between obsession and normalcy? Obsession is that you can't stop it. Then you're obsessed. Then you're obsessive, compulsive. If you can't stop it, then you're obsessive. But if you can, and fakir, I choose in my spare moments, I'm taking a walk to shul, I'm sitting in the car, sitting at the table, I'm thinking about not the Yankees and the Jets and the Islanders, I'm thinking about my sins. Instead of thinking that the Knicks lost to the Nets, that happens, is that the same thing? Am I in the same sport? Instead of thinking that the Devils, yeah, that's a good name for that. I like that name for a team. The Devils, yeah, that's a good one. So instead of thinking of the Nebuch, they lost, I lost to the Devil. We lost to the Devil. You're supposed to think about it all the time. But again, like Reb Nosson Vatfogel said, there's a midah of regret in the world, and the Satan, the Yetzirah, has us regret that the Yankees lost the series, regret that the stock market went down, regret stupidities, regret I missed this stupid movie, I missed this video. Instead of using regret that I regret I missed the shiur, I regret that I hurt somebody with my tongue, I regret that I hurt my wife, my children. Instead of that, we regret stupidities and we squander the quality of sincere regret on stupidity. And instead of fighting, using our midah of fight, to fight the Yetzirah, we put up all our pugilistic and adversarial, antagonistic emotions into sports. The Kitzer, an emes of al tshuva, thinks about his sins all the time. Don't you think, I did tshuva, Yaitzigaven. I'll never forget my father, Lord Gifter, would say, he remembers that when he was young, I think he needed a witness, an aid to Messiah Kedushin. He was still a rav, perhaps. So somehow a very religious-looking gentleman with a long white beard came. You know, when you Messiah Kedushin, you're supposed to tell the witnesses to do tshuva. Under the chuppah, the witnesses are supposed to do tshuva. Have a kosher aid. Just in case he's a sinner, you got to remind him to do tshuva. So he said, I'll never forget. He said, I told the witnesses, one of them has long white beard, and he said, you know, you had the tshuva. It's kind of a silly thing to do, because you know, the tshuva under the chuppah, like, you know, like this, you know, tshuva, you know, tshuva on the man, you know, put a nickel in it, and to get, press the nose, you get a tshuva. But, so, he told this gentleman with a nice beard, okay, but I've done tshuva. So the fellow, you know, straightens out his nice white beard, he says, yeah, tshuva get done, yeah, tshuva, did it. Straighten his beard out. Tshuva getan. Like, you know, it's that simple. I did it. It's that simple. No, it's not that simple. And tshuva is a lifetime awareness. It's a lifetime mindset forever, never to forget our sins. And if you're too busy to think, if we're too busy to think about our sins, that means we're too busy. We're too busy. And also, the fourth component is that a person who is sincere about tshuva will every time he davened, we left this off last week, every time he davened, we say Slach Lanu Avinu, we'll really, really remember a lot. Slach Lanu is the slowest, should be the slowest of our brachas of Shmoneh Esrei. And again and again, think about all of my sins of a whole lifetime. Boy, that'll take a long Shmoneh Esrei. So you're wondering why some people daven long Shmoneh Esreis. It's probably a big traffic jam in Slach Lanu. Avinu ki chotanu, l'chala malken ki foshanu, seriously, said. And David HaMelech says, in Tillim, we have a good role model. Psalm 32, Lamed Beis, Chatosi Oidiyacha. Hashem, I tell you my sins. Vavani Loiki Sisi, I don't cover up my transgressions. Amarti Oda Alei Pshoi Ladonoi. I said I will confess verbally my sins to God. And therefore, Atona Sosa Avon Chatosi Sela, therefore you're willing to forgive me, because you see I'm really serious. I confess my sins, I don't cover it up, I think about it all the time, I don't push it into denial, I don't stuff it down, I confess verbally, and since it's in front of me all the time, and that's a major theme in Tillim, Chatosi Negdi Tamid, therefore Hashem will forgive me. And another proof, a real great proof that you're really serious about tshuva, is that you warn other people not to sin as well. Proof positive. So everybody knows that when we have our guests coming to our house and they're walking out, you tell them, be careful, a little icy patch over there. You know you have good liability insurance, you don't want people to slip because you like them. So especially when they leave, you like them. So you tell them, don't slip, watch out. Be careful. Fasten your safety belt. You go, don't drink and drive. If you recognize the danger of drunk driving, you recognize the danger of the icy patch, you recognize the danger of going without a seatbelt. So you tell people, you care, you tell your kids. What do we tell our kids all the time? So to tell them not to sin, be careful, don't make mistakes. And he's such a gewaltig gevort, you know. Mrs. Rebbetzin Shor was nifter last Sunday, mamash around now. The mother, the matriarch of the Shor family, the widow of Rebbe Gedalia Shor, Rosh Yeshiva Tor V'Das. Her husband died about 24 years ago. Mrs. Shor came from Detroit. In other words, she was born in Detroit around 1919. There was no yeshiva in Detroit. There was certainly no Beis Yaakov. Torah didn't start in Detroit until around 1943. When Rabbi Friedman, who just was nifta last year, built the yeshiva's base. Yehuda, now it's a whole empire. That yeshiva, shtetl's worthless. So it's like this one family in Detroit, one famous family, the Isby family. And Mrs. Shore is an Isby. And Mr. Isby, Pashta Yid. I mean, he couldn't be too Pashta, but a Yid. And he had a Mundit Meritika family, he had other children. Isbys, etc. All his children, grandchildren, great Tamil Chama Muflogim. His grandson was my roommate in Tel's roommate. He was 10 years older than me, he was like a malach. When I came to yeshiva, I was a kid, they put me in a room with two guys, a real bum and this malach. And I couldn't figure out who's the real yeshiva bacher. Like, it took me a little time. I figured it out. They explained it to me quicker that two or three guys to the room. One guy was always playing the guitar, one guy was never there because he was learning. That was Avraham Mordechai Isby. There's a big Rosh Yeshiva there, it's a show. Anyway, Nisbi family, very chashuv family. So Mrs. Shor is Nisbi. She went to public high school, through high school. I don't know how she ended up marrying Rabbi Shor. I don't know, but so she was a tzaddikas. She was. You see, the ikar is not to learn more Rambans than Beis Yaakov and to learn more Michtav Meliyos. The ikar is Yerushalayim. She learned a lot of Yerushalayim at her home, even though she went to public school. And she was very beautiful and she was very smart. But every day, the bell rang at public school. She zoomed out of school, didn't socialize with anybody. But on Shabbos afternoon, I guess when the kids were young, this is her father, Mr. Isby, on Shabbos afternoon, when he took his nap, he took into his bedroom all of his kids' shoes. No one's leaving the house as long as he's asleep. What did you think of that? Yeah, he said, yeah. His kids couldn't leave the house. If he's not up, they ain't leaving the house. If he's up, they're leaving. He'll watch them and he'll go with them. That's gewaltig. Amazing gezach. You have to be a strong parent to do that. Most of us are so petrified of our children, we're scared of our kids, you know. Right? You know, like Rabbi Vozza said over the day, how he saw this sheikhs go over to his father, 70-year-old sheikhs, his father says, give me the keys to the car. I said, oh yeah, sure. Yeah, of course. Here's the keys. I have a good time. Don't you tell me what to do. Anyway, so, you know, most parents are pretty afraid of their kids. So you try that. Tell your kids that when I'm taking my nap and Shabbos at noon, try that, Jordan. The shoes are under the bed. They don't leave the house. So Vice says he gave them a lot of love and a lot of other things to compensate. Gave him a lot of love to compensate. You know, Square Rebbe, when he was in Yasi, his father, the Alta Square Rebbe, he used to never let his daughters out of the house. But he would get on the floor and crayon with them and play jacks with them. I mean, he was a Kedosh Elyon. The Heiniger Rebbe is a Heiliger Mensch for sure too, but his father was a different realm. I never saw him, but his father is, and it was not beneath his dignity to pay. One of his daughters is the Rachamis Rivka Rebbe, one is the Muncie Visions Rebbe. Those are the two daughters. So they were well rewarded. He wouldn't let them give a chasnas because he felt it was the wrong environment there in Yasi, in Romania. So parents are really not bringing up their children. It was tough. Hear his words. So if you really care, you really think an Aveira is an Aveira, you really think Chilu Shabbos is Chilu Shabbos, so the parent will say, when I'm sleeping, shoes under my bed. I can't let you outside. I have to protect you. So Emes of Al Tshuva says, the Chavis of Avis will warn other people, don't make the mistake I did. Make sure you get a filter on your internet. It's treif, the internet. It's treifer than chazer, than hormel ham. It's treif. You'll tell people don't watch television. You'll tell people don't speak Lashon Hara. If you really believe in this stuff. That's the truth of Bal Tshuva is not only do you cry for your own sins, but you warn the people you care about, and every Jew, not to make the mistakes that you made yourself. That's another reason why God makes Bali Tshuva. And if you really... And you'll put in their hearts a fear of the punishment of God and the fear of the disgrace of an Aveira. And David Melo says in Tillim, in Perek Nanal, Perek Nanal is to teach other people to become Bali Tshuva. If you don't teach others, so I know Bali Tshuva, like, you know, I told you, mate, they're still thinking about the Aveiras they did. They won't do them anymore because they have a different lifestyle as pastished or whatever. But they still remember the good old days when they did all the Aveiras and they're still thinking about good old days when everything was okay and everything was fine. Yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy. Not easy. Yeah. See, I'm not the Seder. You know, last night, there was a whole group of kids from the University of Miami. Very nice. There's the Hillel director now is a Talmud from North Sameach. So he does some good Kiruv work out there. And I old shul... He got my shul, the chevre from my chevre from my shul to go out to the University of Miami Wednesday nights to learn the chavrus with all these kids, these college kids. That's the way to get them. You got to get on the college campus. That's the place to go. So the fellow called me up. They're bringing them up, boys and girls, to Or Sameach and Shmansi for Shabbos. So would I speak for them last night by Malava Malka. So I was late. It was about 11:15. I was very tired already. I got up early, prepare shiurim for you, some fine people. And I went very grudgingly. But I spoke for them, but I spoke, it was good. The content was nice, but there was not, I don't know if I reached them. And I realize now, because again, I did it to have a sense of obligation. A fellow called me, I could say no, I come from Miami, I could do it. But I didn't go with a sense of mission. Hey, one second, I'm a sinner myself. I'm a recovering alcoholic. I'm a recovering balaveira. I have to teach other people. It's my achrayas. I don't want them to do these aveiras. I want them to be from. I want them to be yirei shamayim. I want them to come back in the derech. You can't go as down with obligation, a social obligation. If someone asks you, you can't say no. It has to go to passion. That I really care for you. That I don't want you to make these mistakes. I don't want you to do aveir. I don't want you to be a rebel against the Rabbanu Shalom. If you have that, then you'll have a slocha. Otherwise, it is insincere. These are, says the Chavos Levavos, the components of sincere begging Hashem for forgiveness for our sins. Now he says like this. Okay. Now there's one more commandment. There was four general rules for tshuva, which is abandoning the sin, regret for the sin, begging Hashem for forgiveness for the sin, and now a kabbalah lahaba, an intense commitment never to do it again. Aziva is one thing. It's very subtle, the differences. So now we're holding about the fourth thing. Every one of the four levels has five components. So now we're in the fourth level. He's going to explain the five components of kabbalah lahaba, that I'm committing to the future, never again to sin. Until now, I abandon my past, regret my past, ask Hashem to forgive me for my past. Three, fourth level, for the future. Looking forward, I promise I'm not doing it in the future. There are five components of that. Number one, person has to be a common accountant. So accounting is a nice Jewish job for a nice Jewish boy. Every one of us has to be an accountant. We have to be spiritual accountants, and for this we have to try to weigh the temporary fleeting pleasure we have for the sin we're doing, and weigh that against the eternal pleasure we'll have for not doing a sin. And remember, he says, the Chavos Levavos, that whenever we sin in this world, it ain't that good. No matter how pleasant you think it is, it's not pleasant, because this world is full of pain. Even as we're sinning, we're worried you're going to get caught. And you know you're going to get caught. Your wife's going to find out about it, that's for sure, because wives have x-ray vision. If the wife doesn't find out, the rabbi's going to find out. We're probably both going to find out. And the Rebbe Shlomo certainly finds out. And you're going to pay a price. So even as we're sinning, we're not really enjoying it. And we're really embarrassed. Oh yeah, somebody was at an AA, he was always telling me, from person was at an AA meeting. And they're saying how, you know, a guy, you know, AA meetings are not just for alcoholics, there's all kinds of addictions. So it was somebody who had an addiction to women, and he was running around with four girlfriends at once. And the guy was saying how he has four girlfriends at once, they could afford it. Four different apartments, Amachaya. So he didn't have one bit of pleasure. He just did it. He's addicted to these things, but he didn't enjoy it because he had so much pain. The only reason he got addicted is because he was covering up for his own pain. And that most addictions, all addictions really come that person has inner pain and a psychological problem, and it's so intense that we're an addict. Again, we all have the Yetzirahs. We all, even rabbis, no, rabbis, even rabbis have the Yetzirah. I'm making a public confession here. I have a Yetzirah. And you know, not only that, mine is bigger than yours. I'm a Balgaiv about this, mind you, because the rule is, whoever is bigger, the Yetzirah is bigger. So I'm better than you guys. I got a bigger Yetzirah because I'm better than you guys. So my Gaiva kicks in over here. I can brag about my Yetzirah. Let me tell you about my Yetzirah. What are you? What do you know for Yetzirah? You got a teeny Yetzirah. Who are you anyway? You're a Lilliput. I'm a Gadol. I got a giant Yetzirah. Boy, do I get a Yetzirah. But I like to think that I have a little control over him. I mean, again, don't get me wrong, he wins plenty, but I'm not out of control. I can, it's a fight. I don't give in so easily. I lose a lot, but I'm kicking and screaming and hollering. And every now and then I give him a good punch too. So, but Yetzirah, major Yetzirah. An addict is someone who just surrendered. I mean, they just have no control whatsoever. Whatever it is they're addicted to. And the reason is because that gives them so much comfort from their pain that they just, they can't deal with life without that addiction. And it really doesn't make a difference what the addiction is. Some people, everybody has a little different predilection to a certain addiction. So some people have a shopping addiction. They really do. They $30,000 bills on the credit card. Some people have drug addiction. Some have smoking addiction. Some have a drinking addiction, and some have, other pleasures and sex addictions and other addictions, all kinds of addictions, gambling addictions. Some people are addicted to making money. They really are. They can't stop. They just can't stop. The only thing that makes them happy is making money. Some like to spend money. The people have just, if someone, they just can't stop. The guy, it's crazy. If you're out of control, you can't stop yourself, although it's hurting you. You know it's hurting you. You know it doesn't make any sense. You don't really need it, then you're an addict. So the kitzer, sakti chavis levavis, that really nobody who has any pleasure in this world really enjoys it. Moshe, if you're an addict, you have loads of pain, and you're just covering up the pain, and you're never gonna be happy. You're just gonna take another cigarette, and you're coughing blood. And you remember, you're coughing yourself to death. And, you know, unfortunately, there were even big rabbis who have addiction to cigarettes. Some of them broke it, and some of them didn't, and it broke them. And they're big people. They're addicted to certain things. The kids are, in this world, no pleasure is so much fun. You like eating, so you can get overweight, you get sick, you have pain, you have a stomachache. You like drinking, you'll vomit, you'll be a mess, you'll be filthy. I mean, what's the pleasure of being drunk, really? So, all pleasures of Lohaza are really not pleasures. Even while you're having the pleasure, you're embarrassed and ashamed, you feel lousy, you feel low, you feel disgusting, you feel miserable. And afterwards, for sure you feel miserable. So this is pleasure. But if you don't give in, now again, you can't talk to an addict. An addict is out of control. But we're talking about us non-addicted people. We're normal. So us normal people just have a healthy Yetzirah. So the Yetzirah is going to win. And it's going to get us to do things that we know are wrong. And B'shas Mais, we're not even enjoying it. We don't even know what a full pleasure is. Because even as we're doing it, we're ashamed of ourselves and embarrassed, and we're doing it real quick that no one should see. And we feel lousy about ourselves. So he says, if you don't do this pleasure for 5 minutes, you hold back, the reward that awaits Olam Haba is an eternal reward, which is pure pleasure. You want pure pleasure? You want to snort the real stuff, the pure angel dust? You want the real stuff? The angel dust is the world of angels. That's where the real stuff is. That's where you snort without any side effects whatsoever. It's free. It's forever, and it is pure pleasure. So you have to make that cheshbon. He says that the pleasure here is temporary; the pleasure there is forever. And it's gevaldik. Navi Yeshaya says, "Re'isem v'sav l'sas lipchem." You'll see it then, and your hearts will rejoice. You really have pleasure there. V'zarek l'hem yireish mi shemesh tzedaka marbid kafeh. Like it says, Navi Yeshaya says, "Otsem eina v'rois b'ra melech v'yafyay terzeno inecha." I'll say that pasuk again. That's one of the most important pasuk we should know by heart. Otsem eina v'rois b'ra. The person who closes his eyes not to see what we shouldn't be seeing. So hard. We're probably all addicted to that. Otsem eina v'rois b'ra. The person who can close his eyes and not look at bad things. In the future, Melech B'yafiyeh Terzen Enech, you'll see things that are so splendid. You'll see Hashem Himself, the ultimate pleasure. We have no Asago Khan pleasure. It's going to be to watch Hashem Lassad Lavoy. Tzadikim Yoishim Adresayim Rishayim. In the Henim Ziv Eshchina. But to the extent that we filthy our eyes in this world, looking where we shouldn't, and we kept them wide open, looking where we shouldn't be looking, to that extent we'll be blinded to Hashem and the world to come, and we won't enjoy that radiance, that luminescence, that's so incredible. So every time we have this Yetzirah, close our eyes, and for a second closing our eyes, we imagine what I'm going to see in the future. I'll see the Rebbeinu Shlomo himself. There's no bigger pleasure than that. But the Satan wants us to drag us down. You have to ask yourself, what's the big pleasure of looking and being a peeping Tom in Olam Hazeh? What's the big pleasure? The Teretz is Hashem gave us in our hearts a yearning to see things that are secret. Hashem gave us a yearning to see mysteries, to see things that are covered. But the reason He gave us that tchuna to see covered things is to see Him. He's covered in this world. To see the hidden secrets of Torah. That's why He gave us this yearning, this insatiable yearning to peep into things which are beyond us and are really hidden. Because He wants us to peek into a shittim of gebetes and see a new shtickle Torah over here. He wants us to look in the Torah and see things that we never knew before. He wants us to look into the Bria and discover God, who's hidden. But if we look hard enough, we can uncover Hashem in everything, in every leaf, in every ant, in every babbling brook. But the Satan gets us to use that koyach of looking, where we looking at the secret stuff and squander it and being peeping Tom's out of Olam Hazeh. And thereby, not only do we sully ourselves, but we won't see the secrets of Torah in this world. We think we know a little pshetlach, we say a little vertlach, nothing. And that's part of the Yetzer, just giving us this little candy stuff. We think we know something, we know nothing. And the next world will be blind. And everyone will look at the Rebbeinu and say, wow! We'll say, wow? What are you looking at? I can't see a thing. Well, you're blind. Because only the person who closes his eyelids in this world will open his eyes wide to see Hashem in the next world. And have that pleasure. But you squandered your vision on the fleeting pleasures of this world. And you looked where you shouldn't be looking at all the X stuff. So therefore you're not going to see Hashem in the next world. So you should think to yourself, you have this in the mind, says the Chavetz Lvovos, that the passing pleasure of this world is not worth it. It requires training, a lot of training, a lot of training. At first you go around all day looking at the four walls of his house and say, what would I do if I was chassid to see something I shouldn't be looking at? Close my eyes. Okay. Make targilim. The army, they're not going to attack Iraq so fast. They're first in Kuwait. They're in Jordan, secret bases, preparing, getting the missiles ready, aiming, practice, target practice. You can't go into battle. You have to practice. You have to have drills. You have to be in Fort Bragg and Fort Dix, and you have to do a lot of training. And then you go fight. So you can't just, the Yetzer, you can't go on the street and figure you'll close your eyes when the Yetzer puts all the temptations in front of us. You have to practice in the house. It's back in the house. You look at the four walls. What would be if there was something I shouldn't look at? Close my eyes. Matis Yov ben Cheirish, it's a long story. Matis Yov ben Cheirish, he was a very careful person with his eyes, and he prepared himself all the time. And once the Rebbeinu Shem sent the sultan in the guise of a prostitute before him, in the most seductive way, wearing the least clothing. And he took one look, no way, and she was powerful, she like was forcing him to look at her. So he ran over to the fireplace, and he took two nails that were in the fire, two pokers, and he took the two iron pokers that were red hot, and he poked it into his eyes, and he shouldn't look. He was blinded. Rashi said, so far? Yeah. Can't look. I don't want to look. I want to save eyes for the next world. So Hashem sent down Eliyahu Navi and cured him. He said, I was just testing. Boy, you really take this so seriously. There's only a test. It's a good, real story. Masya ben Cheirish. Real man. Man of flesh and blood. He really did it. So the Yisoid of Kabbalah, it's impossible unless we realize. Now, okay, these are things you have to practice. Someday I have to learn with your Sefer, the whole big fat Sefer. If I would be doing, I should translate the Sefer into English, called Kedusha Zenayim. Sanctity of the eyes. But before I get to that, it's Hashem, the Sultan won't let me do it. All the important swarm, the Sultan won't let me write. Let's write all these little cute swarm, you know, for article and make some money. But these swarm article won't even print. You won't even let them print. It goes too from. So that's what the swarm the people have to read. Kedusha Zainayim, sanctity of the eyes. That's where the Sultan gets all of us, big time. Big kids, but the most important cheshbon in Hanoah is this to me makes a big difference. The eyes is very difficult. But in general, pleasures, we all feel a bit, we're missing out on pleasures. We love ourselves so much, we pamper ourselves, I should miss out on the pleasure, Rabbi. I want to dig into that smorgasbord and dig into that Viennese table and dig into a lot of other things. So, right, like money is the root of all evil, and I'm in there rooting. Everyone's rooting for the money. That's what so the only way to conquer our desire for all these pleasures, whether they're permissible or not permissible, so in one way, this to me, when I heard this about a couple of years ago, it really makes a difference, and that is to recognize that we pay a high price for every pleasure, not just in the next world. That we don't think about the next world. Who's thinking about the next world? In this world, if there's only so much pleasure, and Shoshana is decided how much pleasure we'll have throughout the year. The decision of Shoshana is not how much money we'll make. The decision is how much pleasure we'll have. And when we use up our pleasure quota by stuffing ourselves and pressing at the smorgasbords, Viennese tables, and everyday supper, we are taking away from our quota of pleasure, and thereby the other pleasures that are better pleasures we're missing out on. So you wanted to take a trip to Israel and it doesn't work out, it's because you squandered your pleasure quota, your frequent flyer miles, your frequent pleasure miles you squandered on on pressing on that triple decker submarine sandwich you took. So every morsel of pleasure we pay for, like I think it was Rabbi Sosan says, he says, Olam Hazeh is a very expensive hotel. You can have all you want. You can live 5-star. Makes you feel very good. A lot of times, you know, I say, wow, I feel totally like an outcast in this neighborhood. Everyone's remodeling their houses and everything. Everyone's fancy houses. And I don't have such a fancy house. Well, I understand what fanciness looks like. Why am I living in such humble digs? I say to myself, crazy. If I would squander my quarter of pleasure, Hashem wouldn't send me the other pleasures that I have in life. I'd be missing other things. Maybe I wouldn't a lot of things I enjoy. I wouldn't get those pleasures. And I don't squander my pleasure quarter, so I have the pleasure of Mechadish Chedusha Torah, and I can come up with Gevaltik Chedusha. I can have pleasure with my grandchildren. I can have pleasure with my davening. I can have pleasure from doing a mitzvah. And if I squander my pleasure quarter on Gashmias, I won't even have the pleasure from Ruchnias. So, you know, forget it. Like this, I feel so, otherwise I don't think that Cheshmin, I feel so disadvantaged, Nebuch. Well, why can't I get some pleasures? I'm not a pleasure liar. Nothing Oster Chas V'Shalom. But, it's worthwhile. I should drive a jalopy maybe, because the less pleasure I have from tooling around in my fancy car, my pleasure quota remains untouched, and I get other pleasures. It's a tremendous Cheshmin to keep in mind. Never regret a pleasure you didn't get. Never regret the pleasure you didn't get, because if you're going to get the pleasure that's the destiny for you on Rosh Hashanah, you're going to get it. And if you didn't get that pleasure, you get a better pleasure, you get someplace else. You can't lose. Just like if you don't make this business deal, you get the money in Rosh Hashanah anyway. People go crazy. They got to get the last penny out of a business deal. They'll kill for money. They'll kill for money. They'll kill. Literally and figuratively for money. Money, money, money. They'll kill friendships, relationships, everything for money. Kill themselves. It's going to come to you, it's going to come to you. So the money's going to come, and the pleasure's going to come. People don't realize that. And when you make too much money, you squander if your whole pleasure is a big fat bank account, fine, but you don't get other pleasures in this world. And like I told you many times, people don't realize, they pay with their children. The guy who didn't have children. And the rabbi told them the reason they have children is you have too much pleasure kibitzing around all the time. And you're always telling jokes and kibitzing and vitzling and having a good time. You can't have any children. You squander your pleasure quarter. You can't have children because you used up the pleasure. So people think, oh, I've made a lot of money. Who knows what price you paid for the money? You get so much pleasure for your money and your other pleasure, you're losing out. You're not having a child. So we keep this cheshbon. So Hanof Aveir is very big, very expensive. So even permissible pleasure is very expensive. But prohibited pleasures are super expensive. You pay such a premium with a penalty, your pleasure quota is deeply depleted. And so people don't even realize they're losing. What could be a bigger pleasure than Mechadish Chedusha Torah? What could be a bigger pleasure than having a Torah inside, a real one? What could be a bigger pleasure than davening with a Vamkai to the Rebbein Shalom? What could be a bigger pleasure than really enjoying Shabbos? But we squander our pleasures on permissible pleasures and prohibited pleasures, and we didn't Toye Me'ilu L'mahaba. We think we're Orthodox Jews, we're robots, we're robotic, mechanical, steel heads and steel hearts. There's no feeling, there's no regesh, there's no pleasure, and nothing has a tam, and nothing has a taste, and the Shabbos machon don't have the taste of Shabbos, and our licht, we don't see the licht of Shabbos, and there's no pleasure, there's no varmkeit, there's nothing. We squander our pleasures, and you do an aveira, big time you're paying, big time we're paying so expensive, Olam Hazeh Zogri Zodlander, is a very expensive hotel. You can stay here. You want to go 5-star? Well, you're paying big time. You're paying for the next world. That we all know. But again, no one gives a hoot about that because I've never been. No one's been there. You know, I'm not so sure I believe in it so much. Okay, Rabbi, you say so. We're paying big time in this world. Oh, that already hits home a little more. You're paying big time in this world. Big time. Big time. The one out there, you can pay big time. You're going to pay big time. So that, he says, is the first cheshbon we have to have. We want to sincerely make a kabbalah that I'm not going to sin in the future. I should think, why should I sin in Olam Hazeh and get some fleeting pleasure, which is mixed with a lot of pain, a lot of shame, and a lot of tzaras? If I hold myself back for a few minutes, I'll have a pleasure in the next world, which is a super full, undiluted, unadulterated, total pleasure forever and ever and ever. And the pain I have not giving in, I go, it's such a pain. I want to eat. When a person doesn't eat or doesn't press or doesn't take one of the pleasures that's right in front of this world, it's like a death experience. Like I feel I'm dying. I gotta have this. That's okay. It's good because when you die here, you'll be more alive in the world after death. So it's the temporary pain you have not eating what you want to eat right now, you'll get great rewards in the world of eternal life. These are the cheshbonos one should have, says the Chayav Levavos, and they're on the way to tshuva.